The first scripture reading for today is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 28, and we read verses 5 through 9. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah the prophet, the presence of the priests, and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true. And bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. Yet hear now this word that I speak in your hearing, and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson is from Paul's letter to the Romans, the 7th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. Do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law? The law is binding on a person only as long as he lives. Thus, a married woman is bound by the law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, then she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet, if it had not been for the law, I would have not known sin. I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. Apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. So, the law is holy. The commandment is holy and righteous and good. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 34. Jesus said, "Do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross, follow me, is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. The one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. Whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you, God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is your gospel lesson for today, where Jesus spells out for us the conflict that being servants of his word will create for us while we live out in this world. Let me reread just the first two verses from that lesson. "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household." This is our text. What is it about Christianity that gets people riled up? I mean, if you think of some of our most well-known Bible verses, "God so loved the world that he gave his only son." See, God is giving and God loves. What's so wrong about that? That God is against evil. What's wrong with that? And yet throughout the world, Christianity is the most persecuted religion of all the religions that currently exist. Converting to the Christian faith in the Muslim world can get you killed. Your own parents might do it. And we've all experienced a lot of conflict just from some of the ideas that we hold dear in our faith. What is it about a loving God who hates evil that is so upsetting to the world? Paul somewhat outlines the problem in our epistle lesson for today. Because not only does God say he loves, not only does God say that he hates evil, he also defines what love is and is not. And he defines what evil is, what it's not. And it's when you get down to the nitty-gritty of the definitions of those things, that's when the trouble really starts to arrive. Is it okay to riot and burn down things? If you asked that of Jesus, his answer would be a definitive no. But have you noticed that in our world today that behavior has been approved by some, even high-ranking politicians? When we come to understand what God's aim is in relationship to us, we also get to understand why God's love, why God's definition of evil is so much different from that of the world. Because God's aim in relationship to us is not to gain control over our lives. His aim is not to gain control, but to change hearts. And the manner in which God saves us is the supreme example of what God's aim for our lives is. Hebrews says it so well in the 12th chapter. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary, faint-hearted. How do you change people's hearts? How do you get someone to love you when at the moment they hate you? God showed us how in Jesus Christ. And it wasn't with a stick. It wasn't with thunderbolts and lightning, though he could certainly produce such things. For the joy set before him. What joy? The joy not of having obedient slaves, but having willing followers. Follow you because they love you. They trust you, and they want to be with you. How do you gain people like that in your life? For the joy of gaining people like that in relationship to himself, God sent his only Son to endure the cross. Pain, it's suffering. To pay the cost of things that we had done. To give us the hope of eternal life freely and the forgiveness of sins freely. Not to gain us as people who must do what he says or else. But to gain of people who have his love for the world in their own hearts. And like him, for the hope of gaining and changing another heart, are willing to put up with persecution, hostility, pain, or in the words of our gospel lesson for today, who are willing to take up their own crosses, follow him. For whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. My friends, particularly the world we're living in today does not get this. Life is not about how many people you can control. And if you can't control them this way, you'll control them that way. If it takes violence, it takes tearing things down, we'll do that. Those are means by which we can control other people in our lives. But I guarantee to you this, it's not how you change a human heart. And whatever control you gain over others, you may gain for a while, but there will always be somebody else trying to gain control of you. When you change a heart, when the controls are taken off, the behavior doesn't change. Because we're no longer doing that which we must do, we're doing that which we want to do. We're here today, either here in the flesh, or at least here watching. Not because we must, but because we want to. We love the Word of God. We love the hope it gives, the peace it gives, and also the direction it gives us for our lives. And although the Christian church at various times in world history has often lost its way, at least from an institutional point of view, if you look at the early Christian church and how it grew and how it changed the world, it came pretty close to that model which Christ still commends to us today. It is truthfully said of the early church, or of those persecuting the early church, that their hatred knew no ends. A true statement from history. Nero used to light his gardens at night with burning Christians. How cruel can you be? The stories we might have heard in some other time of people being thrown to the lions, people in crowds in the Roman Colosseum, watching Christians mercilessly being killed and cheering it. All true. And yet Christianity changed the world. The Roman Empire, which at one point in time was so actively trying to destroy that religion, well, eventually the emperor himself became a Christian. The world was literally changed. But how? Christians tearing down buildings, rioting, marches of protest as to how they were being treated. No. As much as early Christians were hated, they changed the world by being like Christ, by taking up their crosses, following him. By taking that love that God had poured into their hearts, that changed them. That love that God had for us, even when we were enemies, even when we were powerless. Taking that kind of love within their hearts and demonstrating it day after day. Not just to friends, not just to family, to those who hated and despised them. That, my friends, is what changed the world long ago. Today, there are a lot of people that are calling for change. But what kind of change? The kind of change where we simply gain control over people's actions? The kind of change changes hearts. If we really want to change hearts in our world today, in our lives, in our own personal relationships with other people, the way to do it is the way that God changed our own hearts, the way of the cross. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.